This is Golf Talk Canada, Canada's only nationally syndicated golf talk radio and television program. Presented by Acura. Precision, crafted performance. Visit Acura.ca for our latest lineup, special offers, and dealer incentives. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks.
And good morning, golfers from coast to coast. It is in parts of the country, it's a holiday weekend. Family Day in Ontario. It is Islander Day in Prince Edward Island. Louis Riel Day weekend in Manitoba. So lots of people getting a long weekend here. And it looks like, at least in this part of the country, the rain is going to hold off. The weather is going to be pretty nice. But down in sunny California, in Los Angeles, where it never rains in California, is Mark Sacchino. Tell us, how's the weather there, Mark? And good morning.
Bob, I got to tell you, man, the storm that hit us yesterday was absolutely incredible. Shut down LAX airport for hours. You just delayed or canceled thousands of travelers. Trees down at Riviera Country Club. Flooding in many areas. I'm curious to see the golf course this morning. We're still almost 2 hours away from sunrise here on the West Coast. So I'm going to be really eager to see how quickly this course is ready for play, because I'm not so sure they're going to be able to get on this golf course before 9, 10 a.m. local time today. It's going to need a good 2-3 hours of a full crew out there to get this thing ready. It was not safe for many people as well in the area. So I'm glad it's over. There's still some rain in the area. We could still get some rain today, right up till 2 or 3 o'clock this afternoon. But the bad stuff is gone.
Yeah, listen here. I want to read you something. This is pretty interesting. This is the forecast. Okay, 11 degrees. Partly sunny. I want you to tell me, is that Los Angeles or is that Toronto?
I heard.
It doesn't matter. It's the same forecast. Right now it's 11 degrees and rain in Los Angeles, and later today it's going to be 11 and sunny here in Toronto. Oh. So the only difference is that we got sunshine and you're getting slogged again. It does look like it's going to clear, though, and hopefully you'll be able to get some golf in today. And I don't know. As you said, it's going to take a little bit to clean up that course, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just that forecast is just wrong, Bob. It's just so wrong. I tell you, yeah, no. You know what else is interesting too is that right now, Monday looks horrible as well for rain. Tomorrow looks fantastic, Sunday. So they've got to get as much as they can. The only way they're finishing this golf tournament is if they jam it in Sunday. So I think players are going to have to play a minimum of 27 holes Sunday if they're lucky. More than likely, some might even have to play 36 if they. Going to get this in Sunday night.
Oh, well, they'll struggle through, I'm sure, somehow and get it all in, just because we want you to get home. You know, you don't want to have to stay an extra day, Mark. It's all because we're trying to help you out. That's the real thing here. Listen, there's lots of news and headlines to get to. We do, first of all, just before I get to that, we have a packed show today. You had a chance to chat with Adam Scott and Nick Taylor and Sergio Garcia. We're going to hear from them in a little bit. We're going to have winners, weird and what. We're going to give away 2 tickets to the Toronto Golf and Travel Show a little bit later on. We'll hear some of the interviews with some of the golfers who have actually got a little bit of golf in so far, and Sam Saunders and Dustin Johnson coming up. But let's start off with some news and headlines.
News and Headlines is brought to you by Golf PEI. With 400 fairways within a 45-minute drive, PEI is a golfer's paradise. Visit golfpei.ca to book your golf vacation and discover why PEI is Canada's number one golf destination.
So, Mark, you know, there's one similarity between Tiger and I this weekend, and that's that we're both going to be horizontal. I'm just going to be on my couch. He's going to probably be on the masseuse's bed. But it's the holiday weekend here, so I'm going to get a little prone. But how about that? Tiger Woods not only pulls out of the golf tournament, but also pulls out of the press conference. Now, you're kind of closer to the buzz down there. What are you hearing?
Well, for one, I don't believe any of this. I have now gotten to the point. They've pushed me so far to the point now, Bob, where I think it's all, I'm going to use fake news. It's fake news, Bob. Everything that comes out of the Tigers camp is fake news.
So you don't think his back is bad?
I think he has back issues. I think, you know, there's a lot of players out there with back issues. I followed Jason Day the whole day yesterday. It was cold. It was damp. It was wet. I guarantee you his back did not feel great. at the end of the day here, I don't really know what's going on. His foundation is attached to this tournament now, as you know. The fact that he didn't make an appearance at the for the tournament for his foundation, I find that surprising that we're in the age of so much technology where he could have, at the very least, Skyped a message, got involved in some degree. This is the first year his foundation's attached to this event. There's something else going on here. There's a bunch of rumors spreading around the golf course all week, a lot of buzz. I don't know what to believe, what not to believe. The big story going around is that Tiger may have had a falling out with the membership here at Riviera and has been asked not to attend the event. I think take that one with a grain of salt. That sounded a little ridiculous to me, but has been floating around the property. But I don't know where we go from here. How do you feel, Bob?
It's a good question. You know, I will say that every time you hear something like this, to me, it's actually the opposite way. I think there's a lot going on in between his ears that I think he's just not comfortable. He's not happy going out and playing so terribly. But I think this injury is worse than he's letting on. Back spasms is a kind of a catch-all for a sore back. I mean, Michelle Wee is having back spasms, but she's actually playing in the LPGA Tour event in Australia this week. But I think I don't think we know, and that's the biggest issue, and it's nothing different for Tiger Woods. We never know exactly what's going on with him. But give me your odds on what you think. Is Tiger going to play at the Masters?
Yeah, I think he shows up at Arnold Palmer Invitational because I don't think he is going to go to the Masters cold turkey. I think he'll play Bay Hill. A part of it, hopefully, due to some respect to Arnold Palmer, hopefully, and his history there. So I hope that that's his tune-up, and then he goes to Augusta. And I'm sorry, but the way we're going right now, it's 36 and done at both events, the way I'm feeling.
Yeah, I agree with you there. All right, Muirfield Golf Course, the Honorable Company of Edinburgh Golfers, last May, held a vote to decide whether they wanted to admit women as members, and it failed. It was they needed a two-thirds majority, and they came just short. So you know what they do? About 12 seconds after that vote, of course, the RNA stripped them of being able to host the Open Championship, which is, by the way, an £80 million benefit to the area. So they kind of wanted in there. So they're going to have another vote, and they're going to have a mailed vote, and we'll know the results in mid-March. Can you believe this in 2017 that we're talking about a golf course that doesn't let women in?
Yeah, well, especially one that is, above the radar, on the radar. It wouldn't surprise me so much if this was one of those, under the radar, clicky, very private clubs out there that none of us know about or, right. Because they exist and they probably always will. But a golf course on the map that hosts the oldest championship in golf. It's shocking that we're having this conversation, to be bluntly honest. And I think the sad part about this, Bob, the real sad part about this is you just hit the nail on the head. This is about the money and about the money to the community and about the profile of the Open Championship. If there was that not involved, they would not be having this vote. This membership does not want women there. The only reason they are pushing this vote and trying to jam it is because of dollars and cents and ego that's going to force them to eventually do what would be the right thing. So yeah, I don't know. That's my take on it.
Yeah, I agree. The USGA and the RNA, speaking of the RNA, released a study this week on driving distance. Now, this one is also mind-boggling. They measured seven professional tours over a period of 2003 to 2016, and on five of the seven tours, the average driving distance in that period only went up 1.2%. I just can't believe that happened. I mean, I don't know if you've seen this study, but it just, to me, is just mind-boggling that they don't think there's really any extra distance being out there, going out there. Now, I know it says average driving distance, but that means that there's a lot of people who are dropping down in distance, too, because there's a lot of guys hitting a lot further than they were in 2003.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing. I don't know. I did some reading on this and how I understood it, and correct me if I'm wrong, Bob, because I was trying to figure out how they put these numbers together, but I understood it as they threw out a lot of the top end guys. They called them, the outliers. So they threw out the high end and kind of maneuvered these numbers, I think, the way they wanted to. I don't know what the spin here is, but there's definitely some spin, because if you take a look at the guys that are hitting it, I'll just use the PGA Tour for example, because that's the tour that, I'm most familiar with. There's close to 30 guys last year that averaged over 300 yards.
27 and of them, actually. Yeah.
Is it 27?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're right.
Which is more than double what happened, I think, 5-6 years ago. It's doubled. So, and you know what Dustin Johnson and Jason Day and what these guys, look at what Jason Day did to Whistling Straits. So if they're trying to feed to us that the ball's not going further and it's not an issue, especially in the professional game, I don't know why they're trying to sell it to us, but it's a lie.
I don't know why. Why do they don't go and tell places like Augusta National and the old course at St. Andrews, which have added tons of yardage. Augusta 97 when Tiger won was 69-25. It's going to be 7,400 yards this year. Listen, when we get back, we'll talk a little bit more about what's going on down there on the golf course. They have actually played some golf out there. We'll hear from some of the leaders and get a little more input into what's happening at the Genesis Open on Golf Talk Canada when we continue.
This segment of GTC was brought to you by Acura. Precision, crafted performance. Visit Acura.ca for our latest lineup, special offers, and dealer incentives. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by TaylorMade and the new M family of drivers and irons. Same letter, better everything. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks.
Studio Zacchino down in beautiful and sunny, not so much LA, waiting out the storm down there as they get set to try and finish up round two. Everyone's in with round one. Obviously, some guys are out in the course with round two. And Mark, an interesting leaderboard that it's incomplete, obviously, but Johnny Vegas is up there. Sam Saunders is up there. Jason Kokrak's up there. What have you seen so far through the first 18-plus holes?
You know, it's interesting, Bob. I was shocked. I don't know how you feel, but that some of the play was so good in those horrible conditions. Johnny Vegas, Jordan Spieth, Jason Kokrak. Like, the golf course was brutally difficult. The winds were gusting viciously, rain coming in sideways. You know, they played for a good three and a half hour stretch in horrible conditions before the horn blew and shut it down for the entire day. So I'm surprised they were out there making birdies in those conditions. So it's going to be interesting to see now how this leaderboard kind of settles in once everyone's got 36. There's still some big, big names like Mickelson and Garcia and Scott who have yet to even start their second round. So I think we're in a bit of a holding pattern. Sam Saunders has got a tie for the lead. He hasn't touched the club in his second round yet.
And speaking of Sam Saunders, interesting that opening round 64, which is four better than his grandfather, Arnold Palmer, was ever able to master around Riviera, and obviously feeling very good about his position on the leaderboard. And he had a chance to chat with Golf Channel's Todd Lewis after his first round.
It was actually relaxing out there. I'm normally pretty stressed out there, but for some reason today I felt pretty comfortable. I knew I was playing well. I always come off of Pebble last week, despite I'm missing the cut by a couple shots there. I always come out of there with a lot of positive thoughts and feels. So I felt good about my game coming into the round today and, got into a nice groove out there, had a couple putts go in early and found myself with a pretty good round going.
Your grandfather won three times the LA Open, never here at Riviera. Interestingly, his last victory coming 50 years ago in 1967. Mm-hmm. I know it's only the first round, a lot of golf to play.
Lots.
But do you think now about the position that you're in and adding to the family legacy and winning here?
Listen, I want to try to just give myself a position to win any tournament out on tour. I'm still looking for that first win. If it could come in a place like this, that would be incredibly special. But like you said, it's the first round. I'm very pleased with the way I play, but don't ever want to get ahead of myself.
It's interesting that you could make that claim about adding to the family legacy at a lot of places on the PGA Tour, because Arnie won just about everywhere out there. But a solid opening round for Sam Saunders, Mark. Bogey-free, seven birdies, 64. And I think this guy is really starting to come out and be something other than just Arnold Palmer's grandson.
Yeah, and I guess, that is a tough shadow. Not a bad shadow, but, mm-hmm. but that's how we refer to him, right? Arnold Palmer's grandson, but maybe a win this week at this property would certainly change that. I spoke to him as well right after his round because I had him for the last nine holes of our broadcast on Thursday. So I was following him for the last nine holes. And, you know, after a round, I said to him, you know, we usually ask a guy what he needs to do better to be there on Sunday. We really didn't have an answer for that. He did everything so well. The one thing he's really in love with is the fact that he is driving the ball in the fairway, and he feels that that is a key around Riviera, that you must keep it in the fairway to give yourself realistic angles in the small green. So he thinks if he keeps driving it well, he's going to have a chance to win.
Yeah, definitely. Driving accuracy in that first round was 85%, 12 of 14 fairways hit. So that's a pretty good measure for anybody around Riviera. That is a tough sort of narrowish course. Well, it doesn't look all that narrow when you go there, but when you see those big trees that are spaced out a little, but still you can get in some terrible spots by not missing the fairway by too much.
Yeah, a lot of it too is the angles it creates. The greens are, I don't want to call them small, because there are some greens that are, you know, not exactly small by standards. There are a few large ones, but they're kind of quadrant, Bob, and weird. And you've been there before. We were there together a couple of years ago. There's, you know, there's some areas that are just where they put a pin. The actual size of the green is not that quite large, where the actual hole location is. Like, there's no chance of actually getting a ball there unless you're in the fairway on a good angle. So if you keep the ball in the fairway, it kind of opens up all the flag locations. If you start missing fairways, dealing with some of those trees, but playing out of the rough, it eliminates probably half the flags you look at in a day, where you're just now aiming to put it somewhere in the green and give yourself a 40, 50 footer. And, you know, you're not going to win many PGA Tour events playing with 45 foot birdie efforts.
No, that's for sure. Another guy who is playing very well through the first round is Dustin Johnson, 66, 5 under. He did have one bogey, but a whole batch of birdies. And interestingly enough, he could actually take over the number one spot in the world ranking if he were to win and Jason Day finishes in a tie for third or worse. And he also spoke to Todd Lewis after his round.
I was doing everything pretty well. I drove it, you know, driving it nicely. Hit a lot of great iron shots. You know, made some nice putts, but I also missed a few really, really easy putts. You know, they're on, well, I'm, you know, 12, 13, and then a couple on the front. But, you know, I played really solid. I'm happy with the way I played. You know, missed a pretty easy par putt on 4 too that, you know, was my only bogey of the day, but you know, played really solid all day long.
Yeah, we talked earlier this week in the opportunity in front of you to be number one in the world if you win and Jason Day finishes in a three-way tie for third or worse. And you talked to me about how you don't really pay attention to that. You don't think about that. Why is that? Is that by design?
No, just it doesn't. Obviously it'd be great to get there, but you know, I'm focused on this week and this golf tournament, and you know, each shot that I'm hitting, and you know, I just want to have I want to put myself in a position to have a chance to win on Sunday. You know, that's the only thing I'm really thinking about.
Pretty decent performance for Dustin Johnson. 8 out of 14 fairways, not that great, but 13 of 18 greens, which is always pretty good, and his putting was fairly solid despite his remarks there. He was strokes gained putting 2.147, so that's a pretty good measurement for him. Mark, this guy just keeps on amazing us, doesn't he?
Well, he's just got so much talent, doesn't he, Bob? And he's fun to watch. And if his head's in the right place, where it has been the last 12 months, we know what he can do. So I think he's always good. If he keeps his head where it is right now, and is able to keep it there for an extended period of time, which I'm hoping he can now with the team around him and some maturing in his life, there's no reason to think that he ain't going to be knocking on number one in the world's door for, you know, quite some time, along with those other names, you know, the revolving door that is best player out there. Yeah. So I think that's what the post-Tiger looks like. Don't forget, you know, Jordan Spieth is looking good in this one right now, too, and he won last week. So it's going to be interesting. I think number one in the world is going to be a dogfight, but I think DJ is going to be part of it.
By the way, we were talking in the first segment about the driving distances. Dustin Johnson was averaging 315 yards off the tee. His longest drive yesterday was measured at 350 yards. So good thing that the ball's not going any further, right? It's just still very, very slow out there. All right, when we come back after a break here, you had a chance to catch up with three good names out here. We're going to hear from Adam Scott, Nick Taylor, the Canadian who played well last week, and your doppelganger, Mr. Sergio Garcia. We'll hear from all three of those gentlemen when we come back on Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by TaylorMade and the new M family of drivers and irons. Same letter, better everything. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by Moto Caddy and Stewart Golf Dream Machines, the Canadian market leader in electric walking golf trolleys. Sold in over 30 countries around the world, they offer the widest selection of golf trolleys for players of all ages, abilities, and budgets. For more information, visit jpsmgolf.com. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. Weeks in the studio here in beautiful Toronto, and Zucchino in soggy Los Angeles, which is something you don't usually say too often. Have you got your marching orders yet today, or you don't even know when you're actually going to go out and see the golf course? I know it's still early there, but it's you're working down there, for PGA Tour Radio. Any updates on what your plans are for today?
Absolutely clueless, Bob. I've got no clue. It's like, go to the
golf
course.
I know that, but what are your plans for today?
We're getting to the golf course. We're supposed to go live at 10 a.m. local time today, so that would be 1 p.m. Eastern. But again, that's still up in the air, assuming that they're playing golf and that the golf course is ready. So no, we have no clue what's going on and no clue who we're following.
Okay. Well, you did have a chance to catch up with some golfers, and three pretty good ones that we're going to hear from in this segment. Starting off with Adam Scott, who had some big news this week that he's going to be a dad again, and he's probably going to miss the first week of the FedEx Cup playoffs to be around for baby number two. And I guess he was feeling good because he shot a beautiful round, a 3-under round, to open things up for him. You were with him, Mark, right?
Sorry, I lost you for a second.
Okay.
There, Bob. I don't know what happened there. Sorry, do you guys have me?
I'm back. Yeah, we got you. So you were with Adam Scott in round one, correct?
I was able to follow him for a bit, talk to him a little bit before the tournament started. He's in a good mood. I was just trying to, you know, get a sense from him of where his game was at, because it's been a while since we've seen him on this side of the pond. Certainly this would be his 2017 North American debut. He loves this golf course so much, and you know, it's interesting for a guy like that. Does he come into an event like this thinking he can win it? Is he coming here to search for his game a bit? I got the sense from him that he just loves his golf course so much and thinks that he's going to be there come Sunday at this one.
All right. Well, let's hear Mark Zucchino and Adam Scott.
Adam, this will be your 2017 debut on the PGA Tour. How do you set expectations? What do you think about coming into a tournament like this where you're starting off a new calendar year on a golf course that should fit you? How do you keep the expectations still in check?
Well, I mean, my expectations are high every time I play, but, you know, this is my first week out for the year, and I've got to hopefully get in my rhythm pretty quick is my hope, but you know, this course, I've played a lot of good golf on. It's somewhere I feel comfortable starting the year out. And, you know, I see no reason why I shouldn't be able to play really good this week and get some momentum going for the year.
Is that part of the decision-making process when you're laying out your calendar, saying, hey, I'm a past champion here, I like the golf course, that's a good place for me to get going? Is that specific?
Yeah, I guess so. It's pretty obvious to me. I mean, I like coming to start here. It's the closest point from Australia to land over here and adjust and just get ready. So, you know, I've had a good break and I think that's needed. I play into December in Australia, and to me, this is my favorite course on the PGA Tour.
And just pick it up on that before we let you go. It's your favorite course on the PGA Tour. You are a global superstar. You play the game all around the world. How good of a short par four is the 10th here at Riviera?
Yeah, it might be the best. I'm sure it's caught everyone out at some point and you've made a fool of yourself, but it's one of the best. And it's just, we're so used to having big greens, and that one on the angle it's on and how narrow it is catches a few guys out, but it's brilliant and one of the highlights of playing this golf course.
Adam, thanks for your time. Good luck this week.
Okay, thank you.
And there is Mark and Adam Scott, and Adam is 3-under. He has only played the first round. He's yet to tee off in his second round. Another guy you had a chance to catch up with, Mark, was Nick Taylor, Canadian, coming off a nice top 10 finish. His first top 10 since a year ago, March, which is hard to believe. Such a good player. Not such a great first round for him. 3-over. I think I saw you tweeting out a picture that you met him up by the TaylorMade van. Is that correct?
Yeah, we were up there shooting a little something for TaylorMade and Adidas meetings, upcoming meetings. They wanted us to shoot something, and we grabbed some time to talk a little golf as well for our show today. He seems in a really good place. I was actually really surprised with his opening round. He felt good about his game. He feels good about everything. I think that's just a little blip on the radar. I don't expect much more of that from Adam Taylor. I think he's going to have a good round today.
All right, well, let's hear from Mark and Nick Taylor.
Nick, gorgeous backdrop here as we catch up at Riviera Country Club. Before we get into the golf and your game, which is pretty solid right now, what do you think of that Super Bowl?
You know, I had no stake in either team, but it was exciting to watch. My caddy, Jeff Willett, is a huge Pats fan, so I had reason to root for them, but I also was a Seahawks fan, and Dan Quinn was a coordinator there, so I didn't really care, but it was an exciting game.
All right, before we get into this week, the old L.A. Open, now the Genesis Open, you're coming off a great week. It was a tough week. It was wet. It was cold. Top 10 at Pebble.
Yeah.
How do you feel about your game right now, and what are we feeling about this week?
Feeling good. You know, this is I've played all the West Coast, so I'm ready for this week, and then I'll have to take a couple weeks off. But my game feels good, and I played well here last year, and I like this golf course, so hopefully it keeps going.
You say you like the golf course. I got to ask you, I've asked a couple of the players this week. I spoke to Adam Scott early this morning. He says number 10 is the greatest short par 4 in the world. How do you feel about 10? Do you love it? Do you hate it? Where do you rank it?
You know, I love a driver par 4, and it's definitely one of the best. It's on, I think it's a fine line. A lot of guys think it's the best, or they think it's the worst, probably. I like it. It's really tough. You got to hit in the right spot. If you're left of the green with driver, I think you have a chance for birdie. If not, you can probably make par every time, but it's just really tricky. There's so many options, it makes you think. So it's a great hole that way.
Before we let you go, great finish again last week. I know you're happy with your game. Is there something or anything that needs to be a little better to find the winner's circle again? And if so, is that something you might work on over the next few weeks?
You know, you can always make more putts. I think this since Sony, I haven't made as many putts, I think, as the fall, but I've driven it pretty well. My iron game's been getting better. So, you know, everything could probably get a little better, definitely if I want to win, but making more putts is always key, but it's coming along, so I have no complaints.
Good luck, great play, and always a pleasure catching up, Nick. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Mark.
And there is Nick Taylor with our own Mark Zucchino. And Mark, interesting, he talked about how he was driving it better. In the first round, he only hit 5 fairways. So everything kind of starts from there, I guess, for Nick Taylor. And the rest of his game wasn't all that silky smooth. But as you said, it almost seems kind of like a blip. Like he's really kind of come through things now and is starting to put some good rounds together.
Yeah, I just think I don't even know how to make sense of that opening round. I think he's going to have a good one today when he gets out there for a second. And this should be his kind of golf course as well. So it was surprising, but we'll see. I think he's going to take some time off after this one. I expect a good year from Nick Taylor.
All right. Well, here's another guy who's played well at Riviera, and a guy who I think is going to play well this year in the majors, and a guy who a lot of people mistake you for, not with your swings because you're left-handed and he's good, but you and Sergio Garcia do share kind of a similar haircut, you kind of similar build, and you're both nice guys, so we do like that. But you had a chance to chat with Sergio. What strikes you about where Sergio is right now with his game?
He's just such a happy guy right now, Bob, and he's always been a good guy, but he just kind of feels, you talk about a guy comfortable in his own skin regardless of his performance on the golf course. That's Sergio right now. I think that's going to do him really well this year come majors.
Well, of course, he has some upcoming nuptials. He is going to get married. He's engaged, but let's hear from Sergio Garcia now.
Sergio, first of all, congratulations. A win in Dubai and an engagement. Life's good right now if you're Sergio Garcia.
Life's been good for a long time, so I can't really complain. But yeah, definitely some really nice and beautiful things happening. And we're excited to you know, enjoy them as much as possible.
So obviously hitting the ball very well right now, coming off the big win. This is a ball strikers golf course. There's a reason they call it Hogan's Alley. You're well known as one of the best ball strikers in the world. Gotta like your chances this week.
Yeah, I guess, definitely. We're coming off a great week in Dubai where we played really, really nicely. And like you said, yeah, it is a ball strikers kind of golf course. So if my game is on for the challenge, we should be in good shape to do fairly well here. You know, it's always a tough golf course to play. Riviera is asking you for a lot of good shots throughout the round to be able to score. But I like this golf course, and we're excited about it.
Is there something that you got to do extra well around Riviera? Is there some part of your game that you need to have more control in maybe than you do other times of the year? I hear a lot about crisp iron play being hole high on this golf course. Do you think about your iron play around this golf course?
Yes, definitely. I think iron play is important for two reasons. Not only because you want to be hole high. You don't want to be putting. You don't want to have too many downhill putts because the point of greens, they're very fast, and also they get a little bit bumpy. So they're tough to hold the line, but also the greens are fairly small. So you know your iron play has to be crisp if you wanna have leave yourself. You know, if you hit decent shots because the greens are small, you're gonna have a lot of chances for birdies. But if your iron play is a little bit off, then you're gonna be your chipping has to be really, really on to be able to get up and down.
Before we let you go, again, a win early in the year on the European Tour. Does it change the way you feel about the spring or this time of year? Does it put a different bounce in your step, or you're just happy with life and happy with the way you're playing and you take it 1 week at a time?
No, you do take it 1 week at a time, but obviously, what we've done, nobody can take that from us, and it's obviously a boost of confidence. But every week it's a new week, and it's nice to be able to start the year like that. But we have to keep going. You know, it's not like one and done. So,
well, good luck. You're my pick this week. I'm not trying to put too much pressure on you, but you're my pick this week. Good luck, and I hope to see you come down the stretch Sunday with a chance to win.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
And there's Sergio Garcia. And Mark, you hit the nail on the head, I think, in that interview, just talking about how happy he is, how he just seems relaxed and comfortable. And that hasn't always been the case for Sergio Garcia.
No, you know, he fights the expectations and the labels that I guess we drew on him back in 99. He was going to be Tiger's contemporary, the one that was going to challenge Tiger and, you know, compete for all those majors, and it just never happened. And then, you know, some bad bounces along the way, and I'm sure some times in his career where I wish, where he wishes that he handled himself probably a little different. Looking back now as an older guy with some maturity going, man, what was I thinking with that reaction? I think he's left that all in the past. And if you look at his performance the last couple of years, especially in big events, he's played well. He's had chances. And I think it's got to be an attitude. And I'd be shocked, Bob, if he did not put a score on the board of like 66 or 67 today and fire himself right back into this golf tournament. It would really surprise me.
Well, sometimes we forget he's still young. He's only 37 years old. There's still got a lot of good golf ahead of him, and maybe this year will be the year that he finally gets that major. We are going to go around the world and check out some golf scores when we come back. There is a lot of golf being played in a lot of different places, and some interesting golf as well. We'll have a look at that when we get back right after this break on Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by Moto Caddy and Stewart Golf Dream Machines, the Canadian market leader in electric walking golf trolleys. Sold in over 30 countries around the world, they offer the widest selection of golf trolleys for players of all ages, abilities, and budgets. For more information, visit jpsmgolf.com. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories, including DigiFit Floor Liner, the most advanced concept in floor protection today. Visit WeatherTech.ca. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada on a holiday weekend here in Ontario and a few other provinces as well. Mark Zucchino is not on holiday. He is working hard down in L.A., drying out his rain gear and getting ready for round 2.2 three or something of the Genesis Open. Mark, there's a lot of golf going on around. We'll just touch on the leaderboard here down where you are. Johnny Vegas and Sam Saunders are through. Well, actually, Johnny Vegas is through 14 holes of his second round. Sam Saunders hasn't teed off yet. Jason Kokrak, look at the leaderboard there and tell me what names kind of jump out at you.
You know, obviously Jordan Spieth is just a couple off the lead right now and coming off a win and in total control of his game. He's going to be really hard to beat. Phil Mickelson had a great opening round at 4 under par. He hasn't pegged it up yet. So if Phil goes and shoots something around 2-3 under, he's going to be near or at the top of the leaderboard. So I think we're going to have some big names pop on the weekend.
Yeah. Interesting also just to note that Patty Harrington there at 4 under par and a tie for 10th right now. The LPGA Tour is down under playing Australia, the ISPS Honda Women's Australian Open. And top of the leaderboard is American Lizette Salas at 10 under par, a three-way tie for second, Sue Oh, Pornanong Fatlam, and Sarah Jane Smith. Motomi LeBlanc, top Canadian, she is tied for fifth, 71-68-73. Elena Sharp tied for 10th with a beautiful 71 and then a 69. 74 yesterday, struggled a little bit, but the surprising round so far amongst the Canadians was Brooke Henderson in her second round, 77. She came back with a 73 in round three. She is tied for 35th. A little unusual to see Brooke Henderson shooting scores like that, Mark.
Yeah, it is unusual. I think Lydia Ko had a bit of a rough one.
75,
too. 75 or
yep,
something along those lines. So.
They were playing.
Yeah, I don't know. You're not used to seeing either one of those players do that. And but I guess it's early days in the LPGA season. Maybe they're just knocking the rust off.
Could be. Jenny Ha missed the cut in that tournament. The Champions Tour is playing the Chubb Classic in a three-way tie atop the leaderboard. Doug Garwood, Miguel Angel Jimenez, and Scott Parel are all at 7 under par. Nice to see top Canadian Rod Spittle, the nicest man in golf. He is at 4 under par, three shots off the lead. Stephen Ames tied for 27th. He is 2 under. And I got to think Stephen Ames is going to have a breakthrough 1 week this year. He is just too good a player playing in that in those fields out there not to get a win out there. Don't you agree?
Yeah, you got to think. I'm with you, Bob. I know there's only been a few handful of starts, but I'm actually surprised it hasn't happened yet. I know that's a lot to say because, again, he just got out there. I don't even think it's a year yet, but sooner or later, it's got to go down. And now, the last update I heard on that leaderboard, Longer was in the hunt, and he's the defending champ there. Is he still near or at the top of the leaderboard?
Longer's in the hunt every week. We can just put him in there. He is actually tied for 18th at 3 under par. Also of note there, top 10 is John Daly, who had an interesting incident with his putter this week. He is known, of course, for getting rid of clubs in fits of temper, and he, I guess, threw his club to his caddy, so he says, and it fell into the pond. He said it wasn't a fit of anger, but he lost his putter partway through the first round. So Freddie Couples is also in there at 4 under. He's tied for 10th. Duffy Waldorf tied for 5th. Bob Tway, Tommy Armour, and Scott Hoke also tied for 5th. So some good names. There's good names there every week. But as you say, this is in some ways become the Bernard Langer Catch Me If You Can Tour, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's unbelievable. And he's 60 years old now, but he's getting younger. I don't know how it's happening, but he has found the fountain of youth, and amazing, absolutely amazing career for Longer.
The Web.com Tour is in Panama at the Claro Championship. Mark Anderson, Cameron Wilson, a couple of Americans, are at the top of the leaderboard at 9 under par. Andrew Putnam is in second place. Top Canadians down there, Adam Svensson had a great opening round with a 64. Couldn't back it up, though. He shot 74. He's tied for 28th right now. Ben Silverman, Roger Sloan, Corey Connors all made the cut, so they're going to be playing on the weekend. And I just I think Adam Svensson is due for some really good golf. He's been a really good prospect for a number of years now, and I think maybe this will be finally the year that he kind of steps up a little bit too. You know, he had to do a little bit of they sort of said, you know, get a little maturing in terms of being a professional golfer, and maybe we're seeing that now. But 64 is a nice way to start your tournament.
Great round, great way to start. I think you said this a few weeks back about, you know, a second wave of Canadians coming. And I think they're, you know, from the web.com and other tours. And I think he's got to be near or at the top of the list on that second wave.
I agree. Now, Europe has a real interesting tournament going on this week, and this is also sponsored by ISPS Handa, by the way. This is in Perth, Australia, and this is the World Super Six. So let me try and explain this to you as best as I can figure it out. The players have played three rounds to qualify into match play. So there are 24 players who've gone on, going to go into match play starting today. And the match play are six-hole matches. So it's pretty interesting, kind of fun format. If you're Brett Rumford, it's not all that great because he's actually leading through the first three rounds by five strokes, but that doesn't mean anything now because they're going into match play. But also of interesting to note is Canadian content here. Austin Connolly, the Texas-born with Nova Scotia roots Canadian who plays under the Canadian flag, has qualified for the match play portion of this. Do you like this format? Do you like the fact that they're going to play these little six-hole matches to see who can win this thing?
You know, I wish I had some time to watch this, Bob, because I think, you know, it'd be interesting to see. Maybe we could get a feel for it if we could, you know, invest some time in it. I'm so far removed from it this week, but I'm curious to see how this unfolds. I like the fact that the European Tour, you know, this is all Keith Pelley trying different stuff and throwing different things at the wall to see what sticks. I like the idea of stroke play to get to match play. I've always been a fan of that, so that you're not dealing with, you know, 5 days of straight match play or 4 days of straight match play. So I like the stroke play to get to a match play environment. I'm not so sure I'm big on six holes. Maybe that might just be a little too short. Maybe nine I could have digested a little easier. I don't know. Let's wait and see. How do you feel?
I like it. I think anything that's new, mix it up a little bit, have some fun with it. I think it'll end up being fun. Something else that's fun, Winners, Weird, and What. That's coming up next on Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories, including DigiFit Floor Liner, the most advanced concept in floor protection today. Visit weathertech.ca. Thank you for listening, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. For blogs, show archives, video highlights, and TV schedule, visit us online at golftalkcanada.ca. We'll be right back with more GTC. This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, is brought to you by St. Kitts, the Caribbean's most welcoming golf experience. Follow your heart to breathtaking golf in warm, inviting St. Kitts. For information on wonderful resorts and championship courses, visit golfawaytours.com today. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada, the bonus 30. The extra 30 minutes here for listeners in Hamilton in the Toronto area. And, of course, this extra 30 minutes is coming to you on beautiful Family Day weekend. 11 degrees today, 11 degrees tomorrow. You know somewhere out there somebody's going to be saying, hey, are there any golf courses open? Right now, we're going to do a little thing that we call Winners, Weird, and What. And, my friend, you have the tee.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Well, Bob, my winner this week, and you'll know this because you wrote a lovely piece on this on TSN.ca, is Brooke Henderson. I know she didn't play the golf she wanted so far in Australia to start her season, but off the golf course, cha-ching, she has signed a tremendous amount of new endorsement deals. You know, already with Titleist and Ping and multiple companies already using her as a brand ambassador and somebody they want to, you know, attach themselves to for multiple reasons, not just the quality of her play, but the way she carries herself, her look, et cetera, has now added a few big ones. CP, which is a real natural. I know her family has ties to CP. But the two that surprised me the most are MasterCard and Rolex, new deals with MasterCard and Rolex, because, you know, if you take a look at who they do business with, it's the who's who of American golf and big legends. You know, Rolex with Jack Nicklaus and Jason Day and other big names. And, of course, MasterCard has that program with Tom Watson and Brent Snedeker and a few others. And the fact that they've, you know, kind of given the nod and the look to Brooke Henderson, that's pretty big.
It's huge. I think it's she's the only woman on the MasterCard schedule, and I think I just like the combination of Rolex and Skechers. That's two good. Yeah. Don't really go together that well, but she's happy.
That's right. My weird this week is the weather down here and just the weather on the West Coast in general. I can't recall, you know, there's been years, Bob, where we've had, you know, a rough time at Torrey or a rough day at Pebble. But this entire West Coast swing has just been nothing but problems with weather delays and issues and uncharacteristic weather for Southern California. It started all the way back at PGA West. For the Career Builder Challenge in the desert where it was freezing cold and sideways rain. And that should have been the cue that we were going to deal with this for the next 4 or 5 weeks. And, man, boy, did we deal with it yesterday. It was absolutely bizarre. My what this week, you'll love this, Bob. This is on the heels of our conversation about positive energy and how Sergio seems so happy on the golf course and he's in a good place and how Adam Scott's going to be a new dad again and he's in a great place and how that can just suit your golf game so well and do you such positive things inside the ropes by bringing that energy with you. Well, the complete opposite of that is Bubba Watson. Okay, we've seen Bubba go off before. Ted Scott, his caddy, should really have a parade. They should hold a parade in his honor every year for managing this guy around the golf course 40 weeks a year. I don't know how Ted Scott does it, but Bubba Watson walking around this property, complete chip on his shoulder, angry at everybody. He's the defending champion here, and it's tradition for the defending champion to make himself available to media to do pre-tournament interviews on Wednesday, speak to the media, speak to radio, speak to TV, etc. Of course, I get the nod to go approach Bubba and ask him, hey, Bubba, how are you? Hope things are well. Do you have time now to just grab 3 minutes for our defending champion interview? And I got a look like you would not believe, and I was kindly told where to go. So thank you, Bubba Watson, for that lovely encounter. But it's just, Bob, how do you play golf like that? I don't know where that energy is going to help him at all.
Yeah, that and that that colored golf ball. That's another good combination for Bubba this year. I don't know what's going on there. It's a little crazy for poor Bubba, but yeah, that's certainly his MO, isn't it? All right, my turn. I have the tee.
So what do I do? Just aim for the pond?
No, you're not supposed to hit it into the water.
But you hit it into the water.
I know I hit it into the water.
Well, why do they even have water if you're not supposed to hit it there?
Because it's fun! We're having fun!
Look, it went further than your ball.
All right, Mark. My winner this week is a guy who's playing in the tournament. This is the first time he's played a PGA Tour event in 11 years. He was the beneficiary of what they call the Charlie Sifford exemption, and it goes to a deserving person who's a minority. And Kevin Hall is not only fits that bill in a couple of ways. He's not only African-American, which we know we need to get more visible minorities into golf, but he's also deaf, and I found that to be absolutely fascinating, because you know how many times we talk about the sound and the feel going together as one thing. So he can't hear anything when his ball hits the club. He's been deaf since he was 2 and a half, but he's made some great strides. He played golf at Ohio State. He was the captain of the team. He's not doing all that well. He shot 8 over 79 in the first round, but just to be out there playing, I think, is a remarkable achievement for this young guy.
Oh, incredible, Bob. I think you're 100% right. Like, just to be out here, amazing. All the research they've done to attach sound to feel, just to get your way around a golf course. You know, a lot of times, you hear the wind, you hear certain things that you adapt into your decision-making process on the golf course. He's not doing any of that. So amazing story and good for him.
Yeah, great stuff. My weird this week is another alligator story. This one took place in Naples at Old Cypress Golf Course, and there's a fellow down there named Donald C. Copps who lives on the golf course, and he was throwing some golf balls to his dog Carbon. Carbon, you might suspect, is black. He's a black lab. And Carbon decided he was going to jump in the pond that's by the back of their house on the golf course. And he jumped in only to find that there was an alligator ready to hunt him down. So Mr. Copps loving this dog, decided he had to go and save it, and he jumped in the water. Now, the gator got the dog on the leg, but no real terrible damage. They had to sew him up a little bit, but he jumped in. Cops got the dog and the gator separated, and then the dog ran out of the water, and two friends from the golf course who happened to be playing that hole came by and helped cops get out of the water, and at the end of the day, everybody is okay. The dog's a little shaken, had a little surgery, but that's a weird story. You can't go near ponds, even if you're a dog, when you're at a golf course.
No, stay out of ponds, especially anywhere in the South. And I love it, Bob. Do not mess with people's dogs, right? Like, forget it. It is the number one thing, man.
That's right. I'm a new dog owner. I know all about that stuff now. My what this week goes to Monty. And I'm thinking, Monty, what goes through your head? Colin Montgomery this week said he wouldn't trade his career for Tiger Woods. He said, yeah, I know he's got 14 majors, but I think I came from nothing and I feel that I have overachieved. And I'm thinking, really? Now, the only thing, the part of this whole thing to me that made any sense was that he said, you know, I think I'm going to have a long career and I don't think Tiger will. I can agree with that part of it, but I still don't know if I would. I think I would trade Monty's career for Tiger's career in a heartbeat, wouldn't you?
And pretty much almost anybody's career for Tiger's career. I think I read it, his statements too. It was absolutely ridiculous. And I think he answered the wrong question too, Bob. He was just asked, you know, would you trade your career for Tiger's? Or I don't even know if he was even directly asked that, but that was the context. And instead he went off on how happy he is and happy with his life and he loves his life and he loves his game. He's not sure if Tiger was ever, you know, happy or in love with the game. That's a completely different answer, Monty. That's not what we're asking you. You were simply asked, would you trade your zero majors for his 14? And your answer was no. Yeah. So I think you're crazy, Monty.
Yeah, well, and he also added in that he said that, and he knew he hadn't won any majors, but he thinks some of the senior majors that he's now won will shut a few people up. I'm not even sure about that, if that really counts in the when we're adding up majors at the end of the day. Listen, I got an update for you here. Your tee times play has been pushed back to 9 a.m. They just tweeted out to the Genesis Open. The gates are going to open at 7:30. So 9 a.m. Your time, that'll be noon here before they start playing any golf. So at least you'll get back out on the course today, Mark, and hopefully get home on your scheduled flight on Monday.
Yeah, that's good news. If they're going to get out on the golf course as early as 9 o'clock, that's probably a good sign, Bob, that we're getting this in on by Sunday night. So That's bonus and great. So I guess I will be out on the golf course at 10 a.m. To broadcast live, which is 1 Eastern, and more than likely, obviously, finishing somebody up in their second round. And we'll find out soon. So,
all right, before we let you go, I know you got to go and powder your nose and you look pretty. Oh, no, sorry, it's radio. I forgot. Listen, give me a winner. Who do you think is going to win this tournament?
I'm going to take the easy one out, Bob. I'm going to take the obvious easy one, and maybe some people think that's Dustin Johnson. I think that obvious easy one is Jordan Spieth. I think the fact that he won last week, he's right there. Sometimes these things come in bunches. I know right now we're talking about Dustin Johnson, you know, technically possibly taking over number one in the world. I think Jordan Spieth's angry that he's fallen to where he has, and I think it's his goal to get back to number one in the world, and I wouldn't be surprised that the week after the Masters, that you and I are sitting around having a coffee going, look, Jordan Spieth back to number one in the world. How did that happen? So I think that march continues this weekend.
I'm going to go Phil Mickelson, go a little off the board. I think he's a little hungry. And for the best story, wouldn't it be great if Sam Saunders won this thing? I mean, that would be pretty amazing. That would be pretty.
That is the best story, hands down. And I hope I'm wrong. Not to cheer against Jordan, I hope I'm wrong. But I would love it if Sam Saunders was able to figure this out, or Phil, to finally get a win, because he deserves a win. He's played so well over the last year and a bit, and is still looking for that W. Phil deserves one.
Okay. Listen, we're going to let you go, and hopefully, if the world moves in the right ways, you'll be covering Bubba Watson today. No, I hope you don't. I hope you get a good group out there. I hope you stay dry. And are we going to see you back in the studio here next week?
Next Saturday. Both of us in studio, unheard
wow.
of.
Unbelievable. I'm not sure I'll recognize you. I'll have to pull up a picture of Sergio Garcia to jostle my memory and see what you look like. Have yourself a great day out there, Mark. When we come back after this, we're going to talk a little bit about the Toronto Golf and Travel Show that's coming up. And we're going to give away a couple of tickets so you can come and see and check everything out. Mark Sacchino is gone. You can listen to him on SiriusXM PGA Tour golf coverage. And we'll be back after this with more of Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by St. Kitts, the Caribbean's most welcoming golf experience. Follow your heart to breathtaking golf in warm, inviting St. Kitts. For information on wonderful resorts and championship courses, visit golfawaytours.com today. This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, is brought to you by the Toronto Golf and Travel Show, February 24th to 26th at the International Centre in Mississauga. For show information, event features, or to purchase tickets, visit torontogolfshow.com. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Bob Weeks with you here in Toronto. Mark Zucchino is down in L.A., and he's getting ready for coverage of the Genesis Open. Right now, we want to do something about that Toronto International Golf and Travel, or Toronto Golf and Travel Show at the International Center. We want to give away a couple of tickets. So the phone number is 416-870-1050, and we want you to tell us who is the top Canadian at the European Tour event this week. Who's the best Canadian so far at the European Tour event? 416-870-1050. You can win a couple of tickets to go to the Toronto Golf and Travel Show. And speaking of that, we are joined on the line right now by the Regional Director of the Central Ontario Chapter of the National Golf Course Owners Association, Blair Breen. Now, that's a big, long title, Blair, but you guys are one of the most popular exhibitors out there because you get a lot of people on golf courses for free, right?
Absolutely. We have a wonderful promotion called Spring Into Golf, and the idea here is to get people out golfing early into the season, because you can't play your second round until you play your first round. And the participating golf courses that are involved here have supported this event for a number of years, and they see the returning faces of golfers year in and year out, and on throughout the season, which is great.
So as I see this, there's going to be 5,000 rounds given away, and I think this is kind of almost like a tradition at the golf show, isn't it? I mean, I think you start right at noon, and I usually see people lined up around the block or around the building to go and and get in here, because it's certainly one of the most popular. But that's right, 5,000 rounds you're giving away?
That's correct. Yeah, people start lining up in the early hours of the day. I'm out walking the line, handing out information to people lined up as early as 7 a.m. Both Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So it's an early start for me, and it's great to see all these golfers lining up to take advantage of such a great promotion. And we can't do it without the help of all the supporting golf courses that are involved with the whole event.
Now, I mean, there's a ton of golf courses. I'm looking at the list here online at the torontogolfshow.com.
Yeah.
And these kind of run quite a wide area, but mostly just sort of the north of the GTA area. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah. All the participating courses, basically what they do is they donate some time on, be it Sunday the 23rd of April or Monday the 24th of April. They donate tee times, and we sign up the participants through the golf show, obviously helping the golf courses promote their facility as well. But the idea here is they're all on board to get golfers out early into the season. If we can get 5,000 golfers out golfing early, that's a great thing, because those 5,000, like I said, they want to get out and play their second round as fast as they can. So we get the season started right away, right?
Yeah, there's some great courses on this list. Copper Creek's there. I see Glen Eagle, Royal Ashburn, Wooden Sticks. I mean, Woodington's out there. Settlers Ghost, Shanty Bay. I mean, it goes on and on and on. This is a pretty strong group that you have with the NGCOA in this area. Are you seeing, I mean, give me a temperature reading of the market out there and what you're seeing in terms of participation.
Well, coming off of the 2016 season, which was a banner year, I think everybody's, it was a nice, hot summer, and a lot of people had the opportunity to go golfing. There was very few days of rain that were canceled out. So they certainly benefited from that. And, it's one of those things where you get people coming out early to play golf. They're going to want to come back and play the facility just to do better than they did the first time. That's kind of the golfer's mentality. Hey, I want to do better. I want to do better. So our whole perspective on this is that, these participating golf courses see the return play And we've got golf courses like in the East End, like a Baxter Creek, for example. They're relatively new to the program, but they're seeing a spike in traffic coming from the GTA to their golf course. So the idea here is let's get people out golfing as early as possible and enjoy this great game of golf.
Now, I know you do more than just this big golf giveaway and stuff. What other stuff do you have going on at the Golf and Travel Show?
Well, we also have, so the NGCOA is obviously involved with the Spring into Golf, but we also have the very popular, which we did it for the first time last year, was a live Great Ontario Golf Auction. So, again, we have a number of golf courses throughout the GTA and the surrounding area. Donate foursomes or twosomes, and we auction them off to the highest bidder. And it was a very successful event last year, drew a lot of attention and excitement. And I'm really pleased to say that we've got more golf courses stepping up for the 2017 year. In fact, just yesterday I was able to, a private golf course within the city limits is going to donate a membership for the year. So
wow.
Some lucky auctioneer is actually going to, or auction bidder is going to receive a membership at a golf club. So it's not just a round for four, it's a round for them for the entire year, which is, I think, a monumental step in promoting this.
That's going to be interesting to see what that goes for. That's going to be,
it will be
cool.
Yeah. It will be. And all the proceeds from that go to a charity. So we raise money for our Take a Kid to the Course campaign, Wounded Warriors, and Bring Back the Game initiative by Todd Kerstead, a golf professional helping wounded warriors and people just who have, for some reason, an ailment or an illness that has taken them away from the game. We want to get those people, because they do have a love for the game, back onto the course.
We've had Todd on the show before. He does marvelous work with that Wounded Warriors program. The NGCOA Central Chapter, they're going to be front and center at the Golf and Travel Show coming up very soon, 24th to the 26th, out of the International Center. And if you want to get there early on Thursday, on the opening day, line up, 12 noon it starts, 5,000 rounds being given away. Get your golf on and play lots of golf. Blair, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Oh, thank you, Bob. Have a great day, and we'll hope to see everybody out at the Toronto Golf and Travel Show next Friday.
Yeah, wow, that's coming up quick, as I said. Good stuff. All right, that is it for this edition of Golf Talk Canada. Thank you for listening. Mark Sacchino will be back in studio next week. Special guest appearance, I think. We have to call that right now. I'll be back as well. And until then, please enjoy the fine weather over this weekend. It's going to be 11 degrees. If you can't play golf, get out and swing the club a little bit in the backyard. We'll talk to you next week right here on Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by the Toronto Golf and Travel Show, February 24th to 26th at the International Center in Mississauga. For show information, event features, or to purchase tickets, visit torontogolfshow.com. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. For blogs, show archives, video highlights, and TV schedule, visit us online at golftalkcanada.ca.